Hey, it's Michaela, back here at Lactation Station. Sorry if it sounds a little weird. My dog's had a meltdown this morning and wouldn't let me go into my office. So I'm sitting in the living room and we have kind of vaulted ceilings. So if it sounds a little echoey, you know, I'm really sorry. So we have a really interesting podcast this month. I'm going to talk about what it means or how to be an adult wet nurse or milkmaid. I had someone ask about this in my Facebook group, and I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but I did this for almost 2 years, and then the pandemic hit and I had to stop, and I haven't started it back up again. But there are things that I did that were really important and key for anyone else that I think wants to try and follow this path. Before I jump into that, let me just mention that if you haven't been over to the website, head over there. I've added some lactation services. I do one-on-one Zoom meetings and a few other things for you to check out. If you haven't joined the Facebook group, then go do that at Lactation Station 2020. Or there's the business page that's just Lactation Station. I also started a patron page that will have the podcast available 24 hours before it's available to the general public. And it's completely unedited, so you'll hear all the goofy crap that I do. And you can find that just by going to patron and then searching my name, Michaela Hodges. I also started a Twitter, and that's Michaela1771076. I have an Instagram account, which is Micah000466. And then I also started a TikTok where I do some fun little animated videos. And that's Michaela Hodges CBS. Okay, now that all the announcements are out of the way, let's move on to what it means to be an adult wet nurse. You know, it's really interesting, this concept, because for me, I can separate sexual activity from suckling, and, you know, a lot of people can't. So, you know, it's really important that this, if this is a route you decide to take, that that's something that you can do. And I don't know about in other cities, but here in Vegas, if it's sexually involved, it's considered prostitution. So I'm really clear with clients that there is no sexual activity. And I warn them, if they can't control themselves, then I will get up and pack up my stuff and leave. So I'm not sure where to start with this. Let's start with what you can charge, what I charged. What I charged was $200 an hour for a first-time client, and then $150 an hour for returning clients, and $50 over that hour for every half hour. That worked well for me. I know some milkmaids that charge by the 90-minute increments, but an hour worked for me. And I will say that if you're going to charge by the hour, then you need to be sure you have the supply for an hour. That's 30 minutes on each side. If you don't think that that's something that you can do, you can always charge by the half hour and just do 15 minutes on each side. Here in Vegas, I used it as alternative therapy, and that's what I advertised it as, alternative therapy. With some of my clients, I took aromatherapy with me, and I used essential oils and incense and different things, you know, to help people relax. I had a lot of businessmen who I would see before big meetings or after big meetings that they used it as a way to help them relax. So that's what it was for me. It was an alternative therapy. It wasn't about an A&R or anything like that, because I have an A&R. I have a partner that I'm perfectly happy with. So what I was doing was a type of alternative therapy. I had a very close friend who knew everywhere I went and everything I did. And we used the Find a Friend app. So she, plus the GPS was always on my phone. So she always knew where I was. She always, I gave her the client's information, their phone number, their name, the hotel we were at, and the hotel room number. So there was somebody that always knew where I was. And our sessions were 80 minutes, 60 minutes for the session, and then 10 minutes before and 10 minutes after. 10 minutes before the session started, I would call her and let her know where I was, what hotel I was at, and all the information. And then as soon as our 60 minutes was up with the client, I would call her and let her know that I was leaving. And I would let the client know, if I don't call her within 10 minutes after the end of our session, she calls the police and sends them to the hotel room. I never had to have an issue. I never, you know, had a problem with a client, and it never got that far. But that was my safety net to make sure that it didn't get that far. And a lot of the clients that I had were not necessarily well-known, but they were businessmen within the city who were probably married and didn't want their wives or girlfriends to know what they were doing. I also had a lot of out-of-town clients. And one of the things that I did when I would meet with a potential client was I would meet them in a neutral area, usually a Starbucks, and we would sit and talk for as long as it took to be comfortable. If they weren't comfortable with me or I wasn't comfortable with them, then that's as far as it went, and I got up and left. If I was comfortable and they were comfortable, then we worked on when we would have our first session. At the initial meeting, there was a deposit required of $100. If at any point between that meeting and when our next session started, they changed their mind, that $100 was non-refundable. That's, you know, that's what worked for me. And that way I could vet whoever I was going to be spending time with. And if I didn't feel comfortable with them, then it didn't go any further. Now, how did I advertise? Well, I advertised on FetLife. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of that. If you haven't, and you know, A&R is your thing, or you know, milk is your thing, then I highly suggest you go over there and check it out. You can start an account. It's free. There's no charge for it. And you'll be surrounded by a bunch of like-minded people. But that's where I started with my advertising, was on FetLife. And I spelled it out, you know, crystal clear on my ad. And this is what I was offering. And this is the price that I would pay. And the way that they got in touch with me was either on FetLife or I left my online name for my Kik, K-I-K. If you don't have one of those and you want to be around like-minded people, I highly suggest you join Kik and find a group, because there's tons of support there too. If you're just looking to be around people who, you know, have the same interest as you. That's how they would get in touch with me. And then we would, you know, set up a time to meet if they were going to be in town or, you know, anything like that. And we would go over the fee structure and what I charge. Now, I will let you know up front that there are a lot of people who feel like milk shouldn't be monetized. But I work hard to produce milk, so I don't see any reason why I should give it away for free. So if you run across those kind of people that get angry at you, then, you know, tough luck for them. They missed out. So sometimes you come around people like that, and that's okay. Everybody has their opinion, you know, but you don't give it away. If this is something that you think you want to do, then figure out what your price range is going to be, and don't let people bully you or make you feel bad because you put a price on it. You know, women that come clean a house, or men, I guess there's men that do it too, you know, that come clean a house or perform any service in the world, get paid. If you're performing a service for somebody, you deserve to get paid. So don't let somebody tell you that you should give it away for free, because you shouldn't. That's, you know, all I'm going to say about that. So it wasn't really hard. I get messages constantly, all the time, from people wanting to meet up. You know, I got them during the pandemic, and I told them that, you know, I wasn't going to meet up with random people I didn't know in the middle of a global pandemic. But, you know, it's really starting to pick up, and I'm trying to decide if this is something that I want to get back into. But I can tell you, ladies, that I get at least between 6 and 12 inquiries a day. So if it's something that you're interested in doing, it's definitely out there to be done. So don't let, you know, don't think that it's just, you know, a fly-by-night thing or once-in-a-lifetime shot. It is something that you can generally turn a business into. I did. I bought a new truck. You know, I paid my own bills. I did everything that I needed to do on my own working as a milkmaid. So it is definitely something that you can do. So let's go again over the steps. You need to have one person that you trust that you can tell where you are and what you're doing. When you get to, and they always have to host. Your client always has to host. If they're coming into your town and they don't live there, like here in Vegas, you know, people fly in all the time and they stay at hotels. If your client is from out of town and they're staying at a hotel, when you get to their hotel, go to the front desk, tell them who you are. Not, you know, hey, I'm a milkmaid, but your name and who you're there to see so that your ass is covered. If anything happens, the people at the front desk know who you are and who you were there to see. You can text or however you communicate with the client to let them know you're at the front desk. And they need to come to the front desk to meet you so that, again, the people at the front desk can see that you're there with that person. And they, you know, may think, who knows, whatever. In Vegas, who knows what they thought when I was there meeting people at the hotel. And I didn't really care. It didn't make a difference to me. You know, people can think what they want. As long as they see you and they know your name and they know you're with that person. Then you go up to the room. I used my phone and I set some ambient music. I set up my essential oil diffusers. I just kind of created a very calming atmosphere. One of the things that I required and that I carried around in my bag was a bottle of the blue Listerine. And I made the client go gargle. Not because, you know, I thought they were a dirty, filthy person, but because mouths in general are dirty. And I didn't want, you know, an infection or any kind of issue or anything like that. And so they needed to wash their hands and gargle with the blue Listerine before they put their mouth on my body. And at that point, then it's whatever's comfortable for you. Sometimes the hotel rooms had couches and we just used a couch. And sometimes we used the bed. Sometimes we sat on the floor. It was whatever was comfortable for you and your client. And the only thing that came off was my shirt. You know, everything stayed on. I, you know, at that point, the client knows that there's nothing sexual about the activity. If at any point I feel like the client is uncomfortable or becoming increasingly sexual, I stop the session and ask them if they need to go in the bathroom and, you know, feel better, whatever it is that they need to do. And I, again, I've never had to stop a session because of that. All of the people that I've ever seen have been so respectful, and I've never, you know, had an issue that I thought it could go further. I won't say that it doesn't ever happen. It does. You know, and then I call my friend and let her know where I was, and I set the alarm on my phone, and, you know, we had our session, 30 minutes on each side. And then when the alarm went off on my phone, I got up, I got my shirt on, I called my friend to let her know that I was leaving, and I packed up all my stuff. I walked out the door. With every client, I got my money first. As soon as I got in the room. I know this sounds a lot like prostitution, but it's not. I promise you, at least it wasn't for me. I guess some of the steps sound the same, but there was never any sexual activity for me. But I did get paid as soon as I got in the room, with the exception of one person that I knew and trusted, and I didn't get the money from him until after we were done, because it wasn't a concern for me. But if I get halfway through a session and somebody starts freaking out, or, you know, can't control themselves or whatever, and I have to pack up my shit and leave, I'm not leaving without my money. So I got that money first. That's a lot to unpack. There's so much more information that I want to share with you, and I've mostly just been rambling. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a part two that's a little bit more analytical, but I'm not going to make you wait until next month. I'll get it posted probably in about 2 weeks so that you can have the other half of this podcast. So before I sign off, don't forget, go by the website and check that out, lactationstation.com, lactationstation2020.com. The Facebook group, Lactation Station 2020, or the business page, Lactation Station. You can join either one. Check out the patron page, the Twitter, the Instagram. The TikTok is really fun. I really like that. Those animated videos are really cute. Oh, and I forgot to mention that I've been converting the old podcast episodes into videos as well and posting them on YouTube. So if you get a chance, go by and take a look at those. And we have our winner for our giveaway to announce. So as I told you before, I don't pick the email addresses that win. My 11-year-old grandson just picks one. And so that's how we choose our winner. That way I keep it, you know, completely neutral and nobody thinks that I'm just picking friends. So if you stuck it out to the end of the podcast to find out who the winner is of our giveaway, it's chancity.cano@gmail.com. chancity.cano@gmail.com. So hit me up with an email at lactationstation2020@gmail.com. Let me know that you heard this and let me have your information, and I will get your giveaway sent out to you as soon as I can. This is Michaela at Lactation Station. Have a great day.